And another one of those places is in Dr. Ruckman's book called The Kingdom of Heaven and the Kingdom of God. Another place that you can find this material is three volumes of about 300 pages each called The Theocratic Kingdom by a man called Peters. I don't think you want that one. I have all three volumes, and I've read about a quarter of the first volume. It's very deep, but the things that I'll present to you tonight, it'll not be real deep. But then again, it is real deep. But if I can get it, and I can teach it to you, then, you know, it's not going to be that deep. And so we're going to look at this thing on the two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, these kingdoms are, it's important for you to know this information because these things have to do with understanding the Bible. It has to do with understanding prophecy because many of the prophet, unfulfilled prophecy in the Bible is pointing toward the time when a kingdom is going to be set up, a physical kingdom on this earth. And so it's important that you know these things. It's important that we know how it starts. Usually, when I teach a message on the kingdom, I just start with the millennium. And I say, this is the kingdom that's coming. This is the kingdom that Jesus was preaching about when he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that kingdom's going to come and be set up on this earth. And there's plenty of scriptures to go to see what that kingdom is going to be like. And we're not going to run through all those scriptures, although we did run through them when I was teaching in the book of Matthew, many of them. And we'll run through some of them. There will be scriptures that we'll run through tonight, and you know, try to turn to them if you can. If you can't turn to them, write them down and read them later. But to start at the beginning, you have to start back before the Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. You have to start before that. You have to start back in Genesis 1 and verse 1. And we'll look at that, and I'll try to show you the difference between the two verses. But first, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd bless the Word as it goes forth now tonight. And I pray that You'd help me to be able to point out the things that You've showed to me, that it might be a help, it might be a blessing, it might be something that's fulfilling to these Christians that are here tonight. I pray, Lord, that as we learn more about the Word of God, You would reveal more to us, and that, Lord, in these things that You revealed to us from Your Word, it might cause us to be stronger Christians, to be able to stand in these last days, to not be sucked up into the Laodicean church age where we're just a bunch of lukewarm, half-dead, half-awake Christians. But, Lord, may we be on guard, may we be awake, may we be ready to do anything that You want us to do at Your command. And Father, I pray that the Word might be just a blessing to each and every person in here tonight. Lord, I know it's certainly a blessing to me, and I'm thankful that I get a chance to study it like I do. And Lord, I pray that You'd be able to use me to give some folks that don't have the time to put in the study to help them to see these things that I've been able to see from the Scriptures. And I pray that You'd be in it all, that You'd be honored and glorified in it all, that You would get the glory, and we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. The background for this study, I've never started here before, but I'm going to start at the very beginning just with God. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first verse says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a great statement, because that statement means there was nothing before God. God was in the beginning, and everything starts with God. So we're going to go back to the beginning and look at the beginning. First of all, there's some things that we all know about God, but I want to verbalize them tonight by saying that God is an all-powerful God. God is an all-knowing God. God is an all-pervading God. He's an everlasting God. He's an all-embracing God. He's just a God that is everything. He's everywhere. He sees everything. He knows everything. Nothing's hid from God. Nothing can be hid from God. All things are opened unto Him. He knows all things. But not only is He a God that has all great power, But He is also a God who is a creator. And in the beginning, God did some creating. And one of the things He creates is He creates a myriad of spiritual beings of which are going to rule. And these beings are gods. And they are referred to as gods, and they are referred to as the sons of God. But before we look at anything about that, look in Isaiah, because I want you to see that even though we know this, but in Isaiah chapter 45, God tells you that He is a God that creates. He is a creator God, and all things are created by Him. And it says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 12, it says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. So He's made the earth. He's made man upon it. He's made the heavens, stretched them out, and all their hosts, He says, have I commanded. Then down in verse 18, it says, For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. So there's more than one heaven. He created the heavens. God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So there was a purpose and plan in God creating the earth. And it was created to be inhabited. And the earth was inhabited when it was created. And it was also inhabited again when it was recreated. You say there's two creations? No, there's one creation, but there's a recreation. And the one creation took place in the beginning. And in the beginning, it says some things about the creation in 2 Peter, but we'll wait on that. We're not going to go there yet. I want to say this. Being a creator of spiritual being, He also creates a physical creation. And that's all these things here. Now, the spiritual beings that God created are cherubims, they're angels, they're sons of God, they're seraphims. These are all spiritual beings that God created. He created these spiritual beings before He created Adam. All these things are in existence before Adam even shows up on this earth. But He also creates a physical realm. And that physical realm was the earth, the stars, the heavens that He stretched out, the moon, the sun, all these physical things that you see in the creation of God. So He is a two-crowned God. He has two kingdoms. He has a spiritual kingdom of which He is over and which He rules, this right here. And He has a physical kingdom over which He rules. And that's the earth and the heavens and the things that you see out there on a clear night, and you gaze up into the stars and you're amazed at how much is up there. There was a purpose for God putting all those things in place up there. And one of these days that purpose is going to be and plan is going to come into being. And just because there's been a 6,000-year delay doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. And we're going to look at some of that stuff. But before we look at that, I want to look at something else. God is a king. It says God is a king. Look in Psalm chapter 74. Psalm chapter 74 and verse 12. And in Psalm 74 and verse 12, it talks about God being a king. And it says this, For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Manna came from one of the heads of the Leviathan. But that's way out in the future. We can't talk about that now. But I want you to notice verse 12. God is my king. I don't want to start rabbit running now. Look in Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95 And it says in Psalm chapter 95 and verse 3. For the Lord is a great God, amen, and a great King above all gods, G-O-D-S, little gods. You know, there's just not one God. There's a bunch of gods. If a man doesn't understand who the one God is, the true God, then he's worshiping a God, but it's not the right God. It's a wrong God. And there's a lot of people, they're out there worshiping all kinds of gods. All kinds of them. Okay, look in Psalm 145 and verse 1. Psalm 145 and verse 1. Once again, just one of the few verses that have to do with God being a king. 145 and verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. He's a king. Look in Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24. You say, are we just going to run references like this tonight? Well, we're going to run a lot of references. Psalm chapter 24. It says this in verse 7. Psalm 24 and verse 7. This is verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up ye everlasting. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. So God is a king, and God has two kingdoms. He has a physical kingdom, and He has a spiritual kingdom. And as I said this morning, these two kingdoms are never, never the same. One is spiritual, one is physical. What happens is, the average preacher will tell you that they're both the same. It's referring to the same thing. When it refers to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, they're both referring to the same thing. No, they're not. And it's like Dr. Ruckman said, the way you know that they're not is this right here. God is spelled G-O-D. Heaven is spelled, I hope, H-E-A-V-E-N, heaven. You know something? They're spelled different. So they're not the same. If they're not the same, then one's got to be one thing and one's got to be another thing. What is God? What is God? Huh? God is a spirit. So as a spiritual being, He creates spiritual beings. All these spiritual beings that He created, at least the sons of God, He created in His image. He made these sons of God just like Him. Every one of them. Now, Satan is not a son of God. He never was a son of God. He was not created as a son of God. He was created as a cherubim. And He was created the most powerful being in all creation outside of God Himself. We're going to look at that in a minute. One more in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm trying to lay some foundation that'll be helpful. And so I'm going a little slow here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, that thou keep his commandments, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's an important verse. King of kings and Lord of lords. Immortal. So he's a king over two kingdoms. And he creates beings that are in a spiritual kingdom. And these beings are called the sons of God in particular. And they're called gods. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 82. And in Psalms chapter 82, you find that God is standing in the congregation of the mighty. Something like that. 80. In Psalm 82 and verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Verse 6, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. These are spiritual beings. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So there are some of these gods that are going to die like men. But these gods are immortal. These gods, they don't die. The devil and his angels have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of years. God created them. Something happened. Something caused things to go awry. He creates beings to inhabit this heaven up here, this third heaven. And he calls them gods. Look in Psalm 86. Psalm 86 and verse 8. And in Psalm 86 and verse 8, it says, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works among the gods. Don't ever think that there's just one God. We know this because we've preached it so many times. We know this, that Satan is the god of this world. But he became the god of this world. God allowed him to become the god of this world. But when he originally was created, God put him in charge of the earth. He put him in charge of the physical kingdom. And he put him in charge of the spiritual kingdom. And the devil, what we call the devil, the cherub, who was the anointed cherub that covereth, was given the authority over both of these kingdoms. God let him have that authority. Now, God can do whatever he wants to do. You say, well, where does it say God gave him that authority? Well, we're going to look at that in just a minute. But I want you to see something else. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Well, you said there was many gods. Yeah, little G-O-D-S. But there's only one big G-O-D. Verse 5. That's what it says. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, But to us there is but one God and Father, of whom are all things, and we are in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Now all these created sons of God, They were created. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. You and I, we have become sons of God. He's given us that power to become the sons of God because we've believed in His name. So we are sons of God. There's still a bunch of sons of God up in heaven. And there were sons of God that came down to this earth at one time. And these gods are made in the image of God, and they appear with Satan in heaven before the Lord. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And you find out, God gives you shows you a great thing in the book of Job, a lot of great things in the book of Job, but one of the greatest things He can show you in the book of Job is that there's a bunch up there that are called sons of God. And it says in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth God, Job, fear God for naught?" He doesn't fear you for nothing. Chapter 2. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So there are sons of God up there in heaven, and Satan has the power and has the ability to show up in the presence of those sons of God while they present themselves to God. And it says, "And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." So you have sons of God that are spiritual beings, and Satan is one of these gods that was put in charge of the sons of God. I didn't say he was a son of God. I said he was one of these gods that was put in charge of the sons of God. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, it says this. It says, "Hell from beneath," at verse 9. "Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations." That's important. "All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How didst thou cut down? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now here you have one who is addressed that desires some things. One of the things he desires is he desires to ascend up into heaven. Verse 13, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven." Well, where is he at? Well, he has a throne. It says there in verse 13, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." So he wants to ascend up into heaven. He has a throne, so he's in competition with God. God gave him the throne. And then the one addressed is a God that desires to be God. Notice, again, it says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That's where sin entered into the universe. That's not where the first sin that took place on this earth happened. That's the first sin that entered into the universe when this anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, and just for the sake of time, I won't go there, but if you read Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, you'll find these being called cherubims. These cherubims have four faces on each side. Two faces on one side, two faces on the other side. And they have the face of an ox. They have a face of a man. They have a face of a lion. And they have a face of a eagle. Four faces. When you get over there to chapter 10, it says they have a face of a cherub, the face of a man, the face of a lion, and the face of an eagle. So the face of the cherub replaces the ox. And what is this being? He's a cherub. There's four of them. And when you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find one cherub here, one cherub here, one cherub at the back of the throne, and one cherub that's over top. And he's anointed. The word for anointed, which I never go to the Greek, you know that, is Christos, Christ. He's a Christ. He has been anointed by God as the anointed cherub that covers the throne of God. Now, he thinks in his heart that he can overthrow God and become like the Most High. He wants to take God's position. He wants to be God over all. And when that happens, sin comes into the world and the wrath of God falls. The anointed cherub is no longer the anointed cherub. He is no longer the God over the sons of God. And believe me, he's the God. He's over the sons of God. Look in Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And in Job chapter 38, you have the original creation. In Job 38, God tells Job to stand up and give him some answers. He says, verse 3, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" You know, in Genesis chapter 1, you don't read anything about God laying the foundations of the earth. You just read about God created the heaven and the earth. And then he says, "Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together." Well, there's a bunch up there called morning stars that are created beings. Didn't put that one up there. But the morning stars, they sang together, and all the sons of God, they shouted for joy at the original creation. So the morning stars are singing, and the sons of God are shouting, and guess who's leading the choir? Look in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And Ezekiel chapter 28, it says in verse 14, verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So this anointed cherub has pipes and tabrets, which are instruments. An organ has pipes. Tabrets are things that you beat. He has pipes and tabrets, and the sons of the morning stars are singing, and the sons of God are shouting for joy, and the anointed cherub is leading them. And God allowed him to be that way. Then it says in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And the iniquity was found in him in Isaiah chapter 14. So up until that time, he had free reign. The sons of God were under his authority. He had authority. He had the crown over the physical kingdom and the crown over the spiritual kingdom. But when he sinned, God removed him from that position and plunged the earth down into the abyss, which is the deep. That's what it's called, the deep. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Well, you don't read about that in Genesis chapter 1. You don't read about any earth standing in the water and out of the water. You say, where is that taking place? It's taking place up there. The earth standing in the water and out of the water. And then it says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So God pushed it right down into this deep. Because Lucifer, Satan, the anointed cherub, the dragon, the old devil, he had sinned. And God would not tolerate that. And so this goes down into the deep. And it says, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. And then he says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Something happened. It went from being the footstool of the throne of God, pushed down into the deep, and now it's there in that deep, and it's without form and void. That's what it says. Doesn't have any form to it, and it's void. But God said he made it to be inhabited. Remember? You read that. He made the earth to be inhabited. Well, it was inhabited up here. But God pushed that thing so far down into the abyss, into the great deep, that now we're at the bottom. We're a little small ball at the bottom of this great expanse called space, where all the planets and all the moons and suns and galaxies and stars and All that stuff is, it's out there. We're down at the bottom of that. So, in chapter 1, what does God do? God says, let there be light, and there was light. Recreation. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the day light, and the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And He goes through all 6 days where He does a work of recreation. How long's the earth been here? Well, the creation, it says, it's only been here 6,000 years. But the scientists say, and the evolutionists say, that it could have been here for billions of years, because it takes a long time for this stuff to evolve. And now we're finding stuff on this earth that was before anything. These, all these weird beings and stuff like that that they're finding on the earth. So what happened? Well, God said it was made to be inhabited. So He divides the deep. And it says there in verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So God takes, and this is the deep, and this is water. And he divides this, so you have water down here, part of the great deep, water up here, and in here you have the firmament, and that's where everything else that God created is in. Physical. A physical firmament. A physical earth. Physical. Satan was in charge at one time, or Lucifer, or the anointed cherub was at one time in charge. But he rebels against God. Isaiah 14. So now, things are without form and void. But God does an act of recreating. And He puts man on this earth. And notice, it says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man, how? In our image, after the likeness, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the upon the earth. What is that? Is that a spiritual a kingdom that He's putting him over, or is it a spiritual kingdom? It's physical. It's the kingdom of heaven. A physical kingdom. And then it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He's a king. He's the king of the earth. He now has the crown to the kingdom of heaven because God commissioned him to be the king of the earth. But he's also a being that has a body, soul, and spirit. And he walks with God and talks with God. So there's a spiritual connection there. Not only is he king over the physical, but he's king over the spiritual at this time. There's just not much spiritual around except he has a spirit. And that spirit communes with God, who is a spirit. And so Adam has both kingdoms. The devil, when this happens, goes back up here into the great deep. The earth is down here now. He doesn't have any authority over it. However, even though he doesn't have any direct authority over it, he shows up on this earth and steals the right of the authority away from Adam, who is the king. You say, how does he steal it? He steals it by getting Eve to sin. And when Eve sinned, Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, he died. He didn't die a physical death. He died a spiritual death. Now he cannot commune with that spiritual being called God because his spirit died. He has a soul. He has a body. He now has a dead spirit. In the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it wasn't a prophetic day of 1,000 years. It was that day you're going to die. And something died when Adam and Eve ate that fruit. And it was their spirit. And every man since then has been born into this world with a dead spirit. And the only way he can get that thing changed is by receiving Jesus Christ, the image of God. Adam was the son of God. Right? Am I right about that? He was the son of God. And I know that because the Bible tells me he was. But he loses the spirit. Luke chapter 3. I think it is. Luke chapter 3. You have a genealogy there. And when you get down to the end of that genealogy, it says in verse 37, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahalaleel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. God created him just like he created these beings right here, sons of God. These are spiritual beings. Adam was made out of dirt. So he has a body, a soul, and a spirit. And he's king over the earth. Until the devil, who goes back up here, now he's the prince of the power of the air. Now he's the god of this world. Now he holds, because he has extinguished every person that was crowned king over the kingdom of heaven and king over the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, it takes off. And it doesn't show up again until Jesus Christ shows up. But the kingdom of heaven stays right here on this earth. And Lucifer, he comes down. He's the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He has the power of the kingdoms in his hand, Luke chapter 4. He tells Jesus, all this power can be yours if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus refused, would not do that. So he maintains rule over the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom on this earth. Now, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to come back as a king, and he's going to set up a throne, but the kingdom's here. He doesn't bring a physical kingdom with him. The physical kingdom is this earth. So when it comes to these two kingdoms, the kingdom of God is a what? The kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. And it all started back in the beginning with God creating spiritual things and physical things and becoming a two-crowned king, which delegated that authority to the anointed cherub that covered, until that cherub sinned against him, and sin was iniquity was found in him, and then there was a great catastrophe that took place, and the physical stuff went down into the deep. And in Genesis chapter 1, 2, you have God redoing it again. Now, he's going to redo it another time. Only the next time he does it, he's going to do away with this. He's going to burn it up. He's going to burn this up. Why? Because sin and wickedness is up here. It's right up here. In Revelation chapter 12, you find the dragon, which is the devil, and he's up here in the great deep. And one of these days, there's going to be a battle. And Michael and his angels are going to fight with the devil and his angels, and Michael's going to prevail, and the devil and his angels are going to be cast down to the earth. And that will be the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and it'll be a horrible period of time. And then that physical kingdom will be taken away from all the nations of the earth. There will no longer be physical kings reigning like they are today. And Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings. And he will appoint people that he wants to reign. There will be kings and priests. But that's the foundation. And hopefully that'll help you when you start thinking about the kingdoms. That kingdom of heaven, even though it's referred to as heaven, doesn't have anything to do with God. Well, it has a lot to do with God, but it's not one and the same with God. The kingdom of heaven is physical or spiritual, and the kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. Now, Adam loses it, then man becomes wicked, and there's a flood. And we'll talk about that and what was taking place during that flood. And then man tries to get together again and run things and rule the world and reach up to God and build a tower that goes up to God, and God ruins it. And then he calls out Abraham. He makes an unconditional covenant with Abraham, and he says, your seed is going to be like the sands of the earth and the stars of the sky. And they go down into Egypt, and they're there for 430 years, and they come out. And they come out, and God gives them a king. But up until that point, their king was God. So there was a theocracy. And then it goes right through the Old Testament. When you get over here, John the Baptist, he comes out with a great pronunciation. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And man, that's what the Jew wanted. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They didn't care about the spiritual kingdom. They cared about that physical kingdom. And that physical kingdom is in the hands of the Gentiles today. God gave the Gentiles power over that physical kingdom. So Gentiles rule the world. You know what that Jew's hope is? That Jew's hope for the day when the Messiah will come back and they'll rule the world once again. Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll do some more on this next time. Maybe we can get through it in three shots. Oh, any questions? I'm sorry. Yeah, Tony. Yeah.